Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bone, 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 bone. Now tell me what you, hello, the internet. It's me, Jack. Welcome to season 305, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into the lyrics of Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony, and also America's Shared Consciousness. It is Wednesday, September 20th, 2023.
Ooh, yeah. Hey, hey, National Punch Day. Don't be a bully and say, hey, you know, today's National Punch Day. National Care for Kids Day, National Fried Rice Day, National String Cheese Day, and Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Big mozzarella has a lock on September 20th. Damn.
I know. They're doing a lot today.
Do you keep string cheese at the house? You keep string cheese on you for the kids? Are they still
Our kids don't like cheese. It's crazy.
Oh, okay.
They like, they're lactose intolerant or something.
They're crazy
it's
for that.
It's so
one.
Weird. No, yeah, my 7-year-old doesn't like cheese, and so we don't really keep it around.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It does. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka So Train Me and Pay for Me. $160 million plane for me. Suit me up and give me the controls. Because I'm yeeting this here jet plane. Don't know if I will be detained. F-35 just had to go. That is courtesy of Willie K on the Discord. Nailed it in terms of the writing. I did not. Got my phrasing went off a little bit. But for you, sir, boing. Mm. Or sprung. The sound of an arrow hitting a bullseye. Yeah. I don't know how to make a sound of an arrow hitting a bullseye that doesn't imply that my dick is getting hard.
Sprawling.
That just sounds like I'm trying to do boner. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Speaking of trying to do boner, sitting in the theater, vaping big clouds, singing the Beetlejuice. Laid back. My hands on my boyfriend and my speed dial on the mayor. Shout out to Blinky Hack on the Discord for that Lauren Boebert verse. You know what I mean? Wow. How do I do
Boebert bars?
Yeah, Bo bars, as we say.
Bo-bars. Bars.
Yeah.
Bo bar is the king of the elephants. Well, Miles,
mm-hmm.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant, talented writer, podcaster. Yes. Who you know from publications such as the New York Times, the New Yorker, the New York Review of Books, GQ.
I haven't heard of any of these.
One of the co-hosts of the legendary podcasts, Girls in Hoodies and Night Call, and the writer, creator, and host of the legendary podcast, Heidi World, the Heidi Fly Story. Please welcome back to the show, Molly Lambert!
Are you telling us to get out of the way?
I was trying to match the chaotic energy.
Yeah.
Busy
bones.
Bone.
Yeah, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Because I'm on the third mic.
Oh, man. I just discovered how far off I was on Crossroads lyrics. I heard that song 1,000 times.
Wait, the sound of a boner is schwing.
Schwing. Yes. Well, that's because schwing. You grew up in the 90s. And
what about boy yo yo?
Sproing is the sound of like a... when you get ejected from a seat in a...
Spring.
Oh,
yeah.
Spring?
Yeah. Okay.
And what's boyoyoing?
Like an airplane emergency seat. It's like boyoyoing.
Yeah.
So what's the best sound effect for an arrow hitting a bullseye?
It's the sound of a penis getting erect.
Oh, it's the same. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A boyoyoing. Yeah. Okay,
swing.
Cool.
Okay, we're swinging it up. Swing low. What about the Crossroads, though, Jack? Because we really were messing with the form by starting with Bone Thugs.
I thought it was Head South, thinking there's a party, Easy sees Uncle Charlie. But it is not that. It is that?
No, it's not. It's Let's All Bring It In for Wally.
Yeah, Let's All Bring It In for Wally, Easy sees Uncle Charlie. And I thought it said, and it proves that God's got him. Like he sees Uncle Charlie in his mind's eye, in the third eye. And that proves that God's got him. But instead, it's Little Boo, but God's got him. And I'm going to miss everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Where do we go? What is up?
I'm going to miss everybody.
Yeah, it's better. It's actually a better. I like the version of my head better. I'm going to stop looking at the Crossroads lyrics.
Those are merely a suggestion.
Basically, Catcher in the Rye at the end when he's like, "I'm going to miss everybody,"
and I'm going to miss everybody,
and I'm going to miss everybody. My teacher tried to molest me. I'm sort of in love with my sister. My name is J.D. Salinger.
Bunch of lousy phonies. And a bunch of lousy phonies. Oh, no. And a bunch of lousy phonies. All right.
Oh, well. There's that.
Oh, well.
I'll miss my weird gay friend from prep school. Oh. Sorry, I'm still
shaves going. Twice. Shaves twice. that part always
fucked with me. You guys like doing niche content? jokes for nobody?
We like to shed as many listeners as possible in the first 3 minutes.
Up top.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
Yeah.
I'm here to make me laugh.
So it's only our true barnacles that are still attached to the hull of this sinking ship.
We're not here to make fans.
We're here to identify other people who have similar deficiencies.
Have the same mental illness as us.
And then we come together in this place called the Daily Zeitgeist. That's
right. And I'm going to miss everybody.
Ooh. And I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. Dude, is that how Drunk Boyfriend came up the other day? Was from missing, talking about how...
I think Matt Lieb was talking about Bone Thugs and said that part, and then we can't help but do the Drunk Boyfriend.
If I hear about someone's Uncle Charles who died out of nowhere, they haven't mentioned Uncle Charles before, I am gonna think of Drunk Boyfriend.
Will you fill me in on Drunk Boyfriend?
It's an SNL sketch where one of the things
it's like at one of those commercials.
Yeah, one of the things that Drunk Boyfriend does is start crying about a relative that you've never heard, that he's never mentioned before, and then he just cuts to him being like, "My uncle."
It was like meant
Who's
to be
the drunk
like,
boyfriend.
It was Kyle Mooney, and then what was it? Sam Rockwell. And it was like, it was basically like an animatronic humanoid doll that would be like your drunk boyfriend that you would have to take care of.
Yeah. Was this one of those like final quadrant of SNL when they just start doing the weird ones?
No, I think this was one of the early, like this was...
It was like the first sketch.
Yeah, it was like the fake commercial block.
Yeah, that usually came right after the monologue, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's so incredible, the variation in quality over that show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's jarring.
I am jarred.
Yeah, it's crazy like, when you're watching the end sometimes and you're like, damn, they really haven't made me laugh in like 15 minutes. And then there's just like a really weird sketch at the end that they let slide. And you're like,
right.
Well, what if they let them do all the funny sketches instead of Lorne Michaels coming in at like
the 0 hour,
11:29, and being right. like, everyone's material is cut except for Pete Davidson, my good boy.
I need a cheerleader sketch.
It was funny how, like, in a bad episode, you would pray for that card to come up and you're like, is it the outros yet? And you would hear that little bit of piano go boom, and you're like, oh God, that's everyone.
Wow,
clap.
You were,
we've made it to the end.
You were a prisoner to that show, huh?
Oh,
look,
yeah.
Look, guys, we
yeah.
had a really jam packed Saturday night schedule. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I had places to go, but I had to complete SNL.
I was watching SNCC and then watching SNL, like, okay. and pretending we weren't up that late. That was my Saturday night in the 90s.
There you go. All right, Molly, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to check in with private equity. We're going to check in with Rudy Giuliani, on whom it just keeps raining shit. And I just want to narrate the whole thing. And then we're going to talk about that lost F-35 and just the entire history of the F-35 jet program. It's a real winner.
Yeah.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Molly Lambert, we do like to ask our guests, as you well know, mm-hmm. hey, Molly, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, right now, it's Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, you did point out that the first lyrics of the song are bone, 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 bone.
Bone, 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 bone.
Bone, 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 bone. I was also just remembering about the video, that there's a part where there's like a newborn baby that's died.
Yeah.
And then
people love when newborn babies die in their music videos.
And the Reaper takes them all to heaven.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't there one part where like someone touches the dude's eyes?
And no, they touch the forehead and the eyes go black. And
that's right. That's
and
right.
That's how you know that God's got him.
Yeah, that to me, I was like, I don't know if I want God to get me like that. God, that seems pretty.
Look, I'll be real. I won't pretend to have looked up something cool. The most recent thing I searched for was the pop star Tate McRae, who has a viral TikTok song. So I was like,
who's
is
Tate McRae? Please help
me. She has a viral TikTok song. Her name is Tate McRae.
Okay.
And she's a Canadian pop star. And so the video is set in a hockey rink. Because it's about...
Oh, hell yeah.
She's getting back at her hockey player boyfriend who just cheated on her.
Oh, no.
I've never seen someone look more like their name.
Yeah, look more like a Canadian pop star named Tate McRae.
Yeah, like I was like, if you just showed me like, who's this person? I'm like, that's Tate McRae, Canadian pop star.
She's BFF with Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, okay.
But she just had a song that went really viral on TikTok. And so I was like, who is this person?
Okay.
The song is called Greedy, and it's like she's
the video looks like it is a Canadian spoof of Hit Me Baby One More Time.
It does look like that. It's really funny.
Like it's like, what if Hit Me Baby One More Time, but Canada?
Yeah, kind of. It's like if the Grimes video wasn't fascist. It's like I like when there's like a sports.
Oh, like that first video she had, like at the monster truck rally or whatever the fuck that was?
Yeah, where she was like, I love arenas.
Yo, wait, where did they shoot this video? Is she based in LA?
Who, Tate McRae?
Yeah.
Why, is it a hockey rink you recognize?
Yeah, this is where I used to play hockey in Burbank, I think.
Of course it is.
They shoot everything there.
Oh, Pickwick?
Yeah, the Pickwick Ice. I'm pretty sure it's the Pickwick ice skating place. I'd have to see if they have the windows.
Oh, I just went there for
the
first time. Dang. Yeah, there was a big hockey boom in Los Angeles because of the Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Few you know this, but Children of the Valley loved to go play hockey in a climate where hockey has never been played.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. And who else? I remember the other fate, like, I think I was like, honestly, I think I was one of the first Black and East players to ever play hockey because this was like in the fucking 80s. I was getting on the ice. And then Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
And you
Hans
were like,
kid.
You just improved the game 1,000%.
We were such a ragtag group. It was like us, like some Armenian kids, some Canadian kids whose like parents were like
about
trying
to recite the plot from Mighty Ducks, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. The Blazing Kid.
A ragtag group. This coach came back. He had just gotten
one of them
DUI.
Was a girl.
No,
that
we had two Mexican kids, Jose and Joel. Yo, the team photo looked fucking lit. Bro, I don't know what the fuck
bro,
was
this
going
is
on.
A movie.
Yeah, it was. And it was 88.
It's literally the Mighty Ducks, but also it should be a movie about you and your ragtag group of Valley friends.
Going to New England and getting real
desert
culture
hockey.
Shock.
Yeah.
Playing against the rich kids who have all the hockey gear.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
Like Minnesota. Or just like mean Canadians. Like just people want to root against Canadians.
This video is funny because it's like, I've never seen anyone do the aesthetics of hockey in a pop music video before.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's like so Canadian, obviously. But there's a part where she's wearing like a goalie glove. It's like she's dressed like sexy, but she's wearing these
like just pieces of hockey gear.
It's really funny. Yeah. It's like she's wearing like a crop top and basketball shorts kind of.
Yeah. There's like this lone old like Gordie Howe hockey glove that she's like holding that I'm like, yo, that shit is so
old. Yeah, it's like an outdated.
Okay, go ahead.
It's like Jason Voorhees's hockey gear is a little
outdated. Yeah,
it's
really funny. It looks like the Thanos glove or whatever too. It's just like, it's like not sexy. And then she's driving a Zamboni.
She's driving a Zamboni. Much
Jamie Loftus content.
This ain't Pickwick.
Jamie Loftus's influence is felt across much of the pop music landscape.
Yeah, it's very Jamie Loftus coded of Tate McRae.
It's kind of funny, like the last shot being her driving a Zamboni, like very. Like in a very weird, like calm way.
Yeah, and
way,
the quote was like, "It's about being confident and sassy, like taking control."
It's pretty funny.
It's funny, and it's like a good. Here. It's a pretty good song. I heard it on TikTok a million times and was like, "What is this?"
Yeah,
and now I know.
Yeah, Tate McRae. You know it's Tate McRae. Now our listeners know, and that is the sort of shit that they were not going to hear from us. I can tell you that much. So this is. A great search history. You are doing
I'm bringing Pop Corner.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like relevance. Usually the things. Okay, can I tell you the other thing I looked up? This is more on the type of thing I normally look up, but I found out that, well, maybe, whatever. Never mind. I'll tell you guys later.
Okay. Shit. I like that.
All right.
I don't want to make this part go too long. I'll bring it up in the jet fuel part.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
The jet fuel doesn't melt.
9/11 was last week. What's going on?
All right. Molly, what is something you think is overrated?
You know what? It's controversial, and I don't even know if I believe this, but I'm going to say it to be controversial. Pumpkin spice.
Oh, shit.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, so you don't... Are you kind of ambivalent?
No, I'm drinking one right now.
Oh, shit. Wow. And how are you feeling?
What are you drinking? It's kind of blinking in and out of existence.
I'm drinking something...
La Colombe.
Disgusting.
La Colombe.
It's good. It's like disgusting and good.
Sweet.
It's a La Colombe canned pumpkin spice latte from Trader Joe's.
And why does it have you feeling overrated and underrated at the same time? You seem conflicted.
Because I think it's like I like the idea of pumpkin spice a lot, you know? And then a lot of the times the products like don't hit very well. Like I was like the actual pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks is pretty disgusting.
Wait, so... What do you like about it as a concept? More just like that fall has a flavor and you're fucking with fall? Or that you actually do like that combo of like nutmeg and cinnamon and all that shit?
Fall has a flavor and I fuck with fall.
Okay.
I do like the combo of nutmeg. Mm-hmm. I like that fall is represented by like a squash kind of. Seems funny.
Yeah, the gourd gang, yeah.
Yeah, gourd gang. I think it's just like there's a platonic ideal of pumpkin spice that exists only in my mind.
Right.
So the execution of pumpkin spice is overrated. Yeah. I feel that.
And a lot of people are just like, we threw some cinnamon on it. Now it's a pumpkin spice flavor.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This gyoza that you ordered at the ramen, it's pumpkin
spice.
Well,
also, it's gotten out of control. I think that's what I mean, too. I went to Trader Joe's the other day and I was like, they made too many things pumpkin spice now. Nobody needs pumpkin spice cream cheese.
Yeah.
Mm.
They need to chill. They do this thing where
I
like...
I hate to inform you, I might need that.
Okay. No, you see, don't.
I might need that, actually.
No, you don't. This
I'll
is
be
like
back
my
in 15
one,
minutes.
My one, like, New York Jew hard line thing is, like, no sweet bagels.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Really?
That's a donut.
Cinnamon raisin?
No, fuck no. That. That's a donut. Mm. Go eat a donut.
Even with
bagels
some
Bagels are savory.
Some pumpkin spice.
Who said that? Somebody
cream
said that.
With lox.
Wait, but wasn't it like a viral fucking bagel that people were trying to get that was like, I had the cinnamon raisin with lox? Like, there were like write-ups.
Wasn't that
about it,
like the mayor of New York said it was his favorite or something?
Oh, is that what it was?
Eric Adams?
Yeah, it was like Eric Adams or no, somebody
he,
who
I thought
was
he was
trying
like a health food
or it was like
king.
Bloomberg or no, Cynthia Nixon. Yeah, it was Cynthia Nixon when she was running. And bon appetit.
New York.
We tried Cynthia Nixon's controversial bagel order. And yeah.
Cinnamon raisin with lox?
Lox, cream cheese, tomatoes, onion, capers on a cinnamon raisin
no.
bagel. Fuck
it was just
out of
like,
fucking crazy. You
it was
have
hilarious.
Not, she'd been famous for too long.
She's trying to be like, I'm a real New Yorker. Vote for me. I'm a real New Yorker. And then she's like, this is what I eat. And everybody was like,
man.
Boo.
Yeah.
Cinnamon raisins, like, not only are they not in theory what a bagel should be, they're also not popular. Like, when you do a dozen bagels,
nobody
like, the one that's should. Always left over is cinnamon raisin.
Yeah.
Bro, didn't you just say you'd try the pumpkin spice cream cheese, though? Like, which side are you on?
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike?
It's both. It's Uchiwali and One Mike.
Wow.
Okay.
Nazir.
I like sweet things. And if there's sweetness on the menu and I'm in the mood for a little sweet treat, a little sweetie, I'll go with it. But it does seem like cinnamon raisin is just unpopular.
I don't know.
It's something
that
the cinnamon and raisin, big cinnamon and big raisin have come together to try to make happen for far too long.
Pumpkin spice cream cheese is ungodly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Zeitgang, if you're like, if you can help me understand why this is not an abomination, please let me know. I'm curious. But if not, I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and do an underrated. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeitgang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And Molly Lambert, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history? Also, what's something you think is underrated?
Okay, underrated. Every time I come, I only do food things. Vanilla ice cream. Did I say this one last time or am I just...
I don't know. I'm
feeling it again.
Doesn't
matter. No, I don't think you have.
I think you may. Okay. I remember talking about this, but I don't know. This could be a universal underrated, potentially.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting deja vu.
You know, underrated. That is, right? Oh, it's a glitch in the Matrix.
A glitch in the Matrix.
Thank you.
Underrated vanilla ice cream.
Oh my okay. God.
Speak what? On it. Wait, is it hard ice cream? Is it the soft serve? Is it all of the above?
Double all the above. French style.
It's my birthday the other day.
Hey, happy birthday.
Shut up, Virgos.
Thank you. And the guy at the diner heard me and my friend talking about how it was my birthday at midnight and then brought us a little vanilla ice cream with whipped cream and rainbow sprinkles.
Mm.
Just like, oh hey, I heard God. You say it was your birthday. Happy birthday. And it's like something I would never have ordered, but it was so fucking good. And I was just like, damn, vanilla ice cream.
The same thing happened to me on Friday on my birthday.
What?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Virgo gang.
The dude brought out a little, like one of them stainless steel saucers with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on it. No, there was no whipped cream or other shit, but just like hooked it up. And was like, hey, man, for your birthday. And I was like, oh, thank you. And I ate that shit so, I don't know why. I don't know if it was maybe like the meaning behind it, but it was probably one of the most delicious vanilla ice creams I've ever had.
It was so good that yesterday I went to Foster's Freeze and ordered a vanilla ice cream sundae. Because I was like,
oof.
Yeah, why?
What's a vanilla ice cream sundae?
It's just
vanilla
like
ice cream with like melted vanilla ice cream sauce on top?
No, just like vanilla with hot fudge and whipped cream.
Hot vanilla on it.
Vanilla ice cream is the greatest like base. It's yeah, so
that's
good.
What I mean. I think it's just like it's as a base, it holds toppings incredibly. And I think, you know, I think we get caught up in these flavors, pumpkin spice. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what I mean. It's like pumpkin spice. You're like imagining this incredible flavor. And it's like vanilla is right here.
Yeah.
Right there. It's been here for us all especially along.
When there's a little bit of vanilla bean, that shit feels like the height of classic vanilla ice cream.
You're seeing the little, that little specks in there?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's
only
not
black
boring.
Specks I will allow in my food.
Otherwise, it's probably mold.
Yeah.
That's
true. Like people say like people talk about like vanilla sex. It's like, oh, what? It's like delicious.
It's like really
incredible.
Satisfying.
Oh, it's the foundation of all other great sexes.
The most versatile sex that you're like kind of always in the mood for.
Oh, I'm sorry that my sex was universally appealing. Pardon me. Didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry it wasn't more niche and unappealing.
Like a cinnamon raisin bagel with lox. Is that the kind of sex
yeah,
you want?
Yeah, right.
I don't
Sorry,
think so.
It was like a warm hug from cold
warm
ice cream.
Hug of the soul. Yeah, shout out vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, okay. Vanilla ice cream. We got to holler at us, please.
Holler at us, vanilla please, ice cream. Whoa. Please. Come on, sponsor our show, vanilla ice cream.
Oh, yeah, I love vanilla ice cream.
Woo!
I mean, that sounds like it could be a jingle written by.
And I'm loving vanilla ice cream. And I'm loving vanilla ice cream. Yeah.
And I miss vanilla ice cream.
Oh, no. Nah. Oh, you should just go have some vanilla ice cream, man. It's pretty easy to get. All right. Shall we talk about, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about private equity?
This is interesting. I saw a headline that was, allow me to pull up the exact headline because I was like, what is this? It said, can private equity be ellipsis nice? And I was like, what the fuck is this? And it's an interview by in Slate by Megan Greenwell, where she interviews one of the heads of KKR, which is this like private equity firm that just bought the publisher Simon & Schuster. And KKR is doing something that is kind of unheard of in the private equity world. They're offering employees of the companies they purchase an ownership stake. And you're like, wait, what do you mean? What the fuck is this? they basically built in a deal where part of like the total equity of the company gets put aside for employees, and higher earning employees have the option to buy like additional equity if they want. But everyone gets a piece for free. And the idea here is that when the company sells or goes public, everybody gets a little taste of something, not just the C-suite, which is like normal.
And I mean, I feel like tech companies have been doing that with like stock, like get allowing employees to like have stock and stuff like that for a while. But then when it comes time to like actually distribute it, they always like find a way to like, these things are tied to like 40 page contracts that the employees aren't going to have time to like read or like, you know, have their legal teams like pour over. Like some of the examples is like a trucking company. Like these truckers don't have fucking legal teams to like pour over,
no,
and make sure they're not getting fucked over.
But like, so this one, their golden goose of an example is this company called CHI Overhead Doors, where the private equity firm bought them. Everyone had their stake. And when they sold, an average of $175,000 was like distributed to the like rank and file employees. Some longtime truck drivers, they say, made as much as $800,000. And like, even in speaking to them, like these truck drivers are like, yeah, it's cool. Like I made the money. And also when you have a stake in it, you actually begin to see the inefficiencies in your own business. He's like, I used to get 40 cents a mile no matter where I drove, and I didn't care because more miles meant more money. But when I realized that that could affect the sale price of the company, then we started actually optimizing things. So it's like a very fucking like double-edged sword here, because overall it makes no sense given what private equity is about and like their bloodlust for just chopping down the workforce to just, you know, lower in the name of lowering costs. But they say, the private equity say, it's win-win. It says workers get the chance for a big payout and a voice in company decisions. Not really. And investors get increased staff engagement and retention, which in turn creates higher profits. So the optimistic read on this is that it's an attempt to trying to make capitalism a little more worker friendly. The cynical version is that this is just corporate. This is like a corporate whitewashing scheme. And it's meant for people to be like, oh, this is like, this could actually benefit people. In the interview, the guy from the firm, he's using a lot of maybes and might be's when it comes to this becoming like a huge payout for people. And it's all nice in like a hypothetical context, but the outcomes begin to differ based on what happens, even like when the equity firm exits the company. Like, do they go private? Do they sell it to another firm? And then what happens there? Does that next firm even give a fuck? So I think that, you know, it seems like they're one example of like the truck drivers making 800K. Like the ownership stake incentivized workers to just start cutting down on their own rather than the private equity firm coming in and doing it. And I think the other thing is that it's huge for retention, which seems to be a huge cost of when a new ownership, you know, team comes in. People just fucking, they're like, man, fuck this place, I'm out of here. But now they're like, what if we give you a piece? And now they don't have to cycle through thousands of employees to retain and train them. So to me, it seems like a very elegant way of like cost savings while appearing to be doing the right thing, because not everyone's going to get paid out $800,000 like in that one example they sort of parade around.
Yeah. I mean, there are probably versions of capitalism that work, right?
No, like, there are none. No, there's not.
Like, there's probably like a handful of times that.
Nope.
But like, there are millions
they stumble upon
opportunities for it to work.
It's called accidental socialism, if anything.
Right.
Yeah. Socialism works. It doesn't work because you have to exploit somebody for it to exist.
Right.
So somebody has to get fucked for it to function.
The other thing that's
it existing without somebody getting fucked.
Right. The like in this interview, too, when like, you know, very pointedly, this journalist is asking, like, why don't you just raise wages? Like when you come in, like, how about that to keep employees? Like, what doesn't that work? And then they use this.
You wouldn't be writing this article if we did that. That's probably what they're.
Hold on. Let me.
Also, I know Megan Greenwell. Shout out Megan Greenwell.
Yeah.
Is that who wrote this?
Yeah. And she knows.
She's writing a book right now about how private equity fucks workers. Like, so she didn't go into this interview being like, this is going to be great. Like, there's a lot of really pointed questions.
But yeah, Kim Stanley Robinson like talks about how the like profit inherently, like profit is the only goal of any of this shit, and profit inherently is exploitative because it's like getting more than your fair share. Like,
yeah,
that's the point of profit. That's what profit means.
So in this, they ask, like, why don't you just like raise the salary? Like that's the easy way to go. And he says, like, look, you know, we manage all kinds of people's money. We including teachers' retirement funds. We also manage wealthy people's money. So I don't want to cherry pick, but I'm just giving you a flavor for why this is so tricky. If you're managing teachers' pension money and you want to just raise everyone's salary, that is on the backs of the teachers, which is not ethical. And it's not our money. And that's like the fucking rationale they use to just hide behind that. To be like, then it's the teachers.
We're actually doing it for the teachers of America.
Yeah. You come away from this interview still kind of being like, okay, like this seems not like a win-win. It seems like a win, maybe win, if the environmental factors are precisely correct.
Plus, like, what they're giving you a cut of a company that they're about to run into the ground.
Yeah, right. But they say if you guys can figure out how to save money, even better, because then we don't have to just start doing layoffs. Like, which
feels
to
like
me,
this is what's happening in Hollywood right now too. Is like the thing that was happening in publishing, where they run all the big companies, like your old school publishers, like Simon and Schuster, into the ground.
And this then is the company that just bought Simon and Schuster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
KK. They're talking to the people who just bought them from, like it was like a carve out from Paramount or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They don't have a plan. Their plan is to extract profits and get the fuck out of there. It's all Enron all the way down.
Oh, yeah. And it's wild, too, because when this guy says, like, we're not just here just purely for profits, I'm like, this is, then you wouldn't be running a fucking private equity firm.
Right.
Like, okay. So I love that, like, the words come out this way. But yeah, it is it's an interesting, I think, scheme from private equity to try and, you know, save money in their own ways on like employee retention while trying to incentivize people to like stick around as long as possible before the inevitable. Because then they say stuff like, we wouldn't just sell it to like another company who's like doesn't have the same ethos. It's like, really? If the fucking money is right, then what? I don't think that's the case.
This is funny that like the global corporate media will like find these examples where like if you look at it from a certain angle, it looks like, hey, this thing's working and it's really like helping out the workers.
Yeah, anytime they're like, actually, check out this cool thing, it's like,
Really? No, they're doing something different.
Start making Marge Simpson noises.
My stomach starts making Marge Simpson noises. All right, let's cheer ourselves up by talking about how it continues to just keep raining shit on Rudy Giuliani. We've been hearing for a while that he's broke, can't pay his legal bills, and now his lawyers, the people who are supposed to be representing him, are suing him for $1.36 million in unpaid legal fees. He racked up fees and expenses totaling more than $1.5 million, but he only managed to pay $214,000. And his defense is just like, I don't know, it's like really expensive, man. Like, what the fuck? Cost so much. Are you serious?
Dude, no way. No way it's this high.
Yeah.
No, it is.
By the way, so, you know, he himself is a lawyer. And while he was representing Trump, he reportedly charged $20,000 a day.
Okay.
So, you know, he's...
I like that he really, the way Rudy Giuliani says, it's a real shame when lawyers do things like this. And all I will say is that their bill is way in excess to anything approaching legitimate fees. Sure.
The lawyer that he stiffed, who is now suing him, is one of his like oldest best friends. His friendship with Giuliani dates back to the 70s when they were both prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York.
Wow. I wonder how that friendship started, like where, like if this his friend, like Robert Costello now is like, look at you now, Rudy. Look at you
look
now.
Look at you.
Look you at you. You got nothing. Fuck. You got nothing. We've seen how recently, like it's been all hands on deck to try and get him more money because it felt like he was going to Trump and be like, I got bills, dude. And like, you need to help me because like, I know a lot of shit. And then recently there was a fucking $100,000 a plate fundraising dinner for Rudy Giuliani that Trump hosted.
His legal fees specifically. Yeah.
So,
love.
I have a feeling. He probably was able to pay a lot of that off. But anyway, who knows? He's too busy being.
Yeah, I like when the scammers get scammed. get
yeah.
taken in for their scams.
By their own.
And the scammers kind of scam each other. Yeah. Where you're just like, none of these people have any loyalty to anyone but themselves. Of course, they're all going to like fuck each other over at the end and turn on each other. That to me seemed like the linchpin of the whole Trump thing was like everyone he works with.
Everyone.
He fucks everyone, but it's like everyone he works with is like somebody who would sell him out in a minute.
Right. Yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah, like they're all, that's the best part when they all turn on each other at the end.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see how the dominoes fall because it's every time we hear about the stuff happening in like Georgia or like Florida, there's more people who are like, actually, they do not want to have the same defense team as Trump now and realize that like they were being like nudged to do what was the best for Trump and not for them to be free.
You know, you know how these people like sell themselves as like brilliant businessmen and people are like, well, if he could make $1 billion, like surely he could run the country. Like their skill, the thing that they all have in common that they're good at is the same skill displayed by, if you've ever like been out to dinner with a group in like high school and everyone's suddenly like, nah, I don't have enough money to pay this. Like, what are you talking about? Like, like arguing over the bill. Like that's
before a homecoming dance.
That is all. That is their skill. They were just the most stubborn of the people who refused to pay for whatever they ordered.
Right.
And are like, no, that's, you see right here on the menu, it says $12.99. And so I put in $12. And it's like, well, we all also had drinks and.
No.
Yeah, we all got those big Coca-Colas because we're in high school.
Yeah, exactly. Through that like weird brown plastic cup that had the logo blasted
got
on the
apps. Side. You ordered the apps. You demanded we order the apps.
You ordered the Mojo potatoes at Shakey's where we're having our dinner.
Right.
Well, I drove someone here, so like that cost gas money.
Oh
like,
man,
I, just. There, it's we'll funny. Argue until you're too exhausted to like, continue the argument.
I remember Molly, you'll appreciate this. Before a dance, we went to Miceli's right there across from the Ghislaine Maxwell In-N-Out.
Oh, you mean Miceli's?
Yeah. Well, that's how we say it. That's how we always say it in school. We're going to Miceli's with the one C. That's why I would always be like,
oh, I say
the one C.
I say the accurate Italian.
Perdonami. But so we went and I remember. One guy, this one dude straight up just fucking just denies that they ordered the food that they did. And you're like, what the fuck?
That's
and
so funny.
It was like,
you know
wild.
What?
Yeah.
Yo.
I would have to respect that because
all
you're
my
like,
friends.
Well, he's like, well, where is it then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah,
shout out to my friends from
this
like Catholic.
Empty.
You know what
Kentucky,
they do now?
Man. We all, every single one of us was just like, nah, I don't give a fuck. I'm not paying.
Oh, just gaslighting when the bill
like
comes?
Ninth grade. Yeah,
fuck you. Nah.
Applebee's? Nah.
Nah, dude.
Well, it wasn't me then.
It was your fucking idea. We came here because you said your cousin was working to get a discount.
Not me.
Well, she's not. So we can't get the discount. So
Jack,
what,
have you been to Miceli's?
No.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. There's one in Hollywood, too. It's like the waiters also sing.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a piano bar and your waiter will be like, your waiter's like, here's your food. And then they like turn around and take a microphone and sing Memory from Cats.
Yeah. What? Yeah. And the food, fantastically subpar.
It's so mid.
But you're paying
so mid.
Yeah,
but
I love
it.
You're paying for the experience.
You know when you walk in, you're like, this food is not tasting great, but it will taste like Italian food as we know it by the American definition.
I love those like mid Italian restaurants from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's one of them. But it's also like they have
usually
like
named
little, like,
after somebody, right?
Yeah. Rays. There's like a fake balcony inside.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
it's wild.
It's like 2 inches deep.
Oh, we should go.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you guys there.
Let's
go.
Yeah.
It's great because it's like a karaoke thing, but you don't have to do karaoke. Yeah. It's like.
Someone just
the
crushes
waiters
Sinatra,
are just singing.
And you're like, oh,
it's so weird. I love it. Very LA.
Now
place.
I see Miles where you get your taste for the old country.
Yeah. From Miceli's, as we would always incorrectly say in my elementary school. And we just can't let that pronunciation go. That guy who was ducking the bill, he went on to have a successful like chain of daycare centers.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Profit king, you know? He knows how to profit.
Profit daddy.
He knows, man.
Yeah.
Somebody's got it.
It's real.
Somebody's got to get shorted. In that case, it was you.
Yeah. Exactly. And the
That's
kids.
That's all it is. All right. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about something that we're all, every single one of us, if you're hearing my voice and you don't, and you are not in the C-suite at Lockheed Martin, you got shorted on this shit. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and let's talk about the lost F-35, no longer lost, but was missing for about 48 hours. The Pentagon announced that an F-35 was, this is like what their, the height of technology, the Ferrari of Pentagon fighter jets, just went missing somewhere in South Carolina after the pilot ejected for unknown reasons, possibly because he was yeeting on this jet plane, as my AKA suggested. They've since located a debris field, but between Sunday and Tuesday, the government was just like at such a loss that they were posting online asking for any help from the public as if they were searching for like a lost dog. And not an $80 million aircraft or $160 million.
Was there a person in it?
No. So the person basically...
Oh, the person yeeted.
The person yeeted the fuck out for reasons unknown. And then the plane just kept flying. And one problem is
That's
that it's
crazy.
You know, it was, I guess it was on autopilot. And also it is designed not to be able to be seen by radar.
Wait, so he ejected and the shit was on auto?
I guess so.
Or
I don't
know.
Or it just
went a lot further after where he actually ended up like being recovered.
It took them 48 hours to find it. So it clearly was not in, it's not like it just went a couple extra miles. Like, that shit just kept going. I don't know what systems they have in place on this fucking thing.
They're stealth, dude. That's what kind of system.
You're telling me that the world's most advanced military aircrafts are working on the same level as, like, the self-driving cars?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say it is, but I think it is.
That's so funny.
It's wild to me that the concern wasn't this fucker is going to crash into a bunch of people. Like,
right.
You know, they're like, it's still out there. We're not
no,
sure.
No, they don't care about that. They're like, we don't care if it kills people. We care if we just don't like get it back so we can
technology.
Use it to kill more people.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think as Arnold Schwarzenegger put, collateral damage.
This is actually an incredible place for me to insert a really off-topic story that would be sort of related.
Okay. Well, you got to stop yourself from doing that. That is just, what you are.
Just hijack the fighter jet.
The queen.
This is what I'm for. I just
this
like
is what you're here for.
Okay. So this is the information I learned, and now it's been an intrusive thought that I was like, everybody has to know this. Mm-hmm. I have to tell everyone. Which is that my other search recently was for the Henry Ford Museum.
Okay.
For reasons I don't have to get into. And I learned that at the Henry Ford Museum, which is outside Detroit, they have the presidential limousine that JFK was assassinated in. After JFK was assassinated in it, they just refurbished it and used it for 3 more presidencies.
Whoa! For real?
Isn't that fucking crazy?
What?
So just some they just Lysoled it down and we're like, all
they
right.
They Lysoled it down. They added
like
more
security.
Like a pair
of bowling shoes?
Yes! Because the government is so cheap, they were like, we can't buy a new car for the president. We got to keep using this car that they killed the president in.
The one with like the magic bullet?
Yeah. Also, they just found a second bullet.
The one he was sitting in when he got his whole shit blown off.
Yeah, bro. They wiped it down. They said, wipe me down. Wipe me down.
That's just
and then they
crazy.
Used it. So it actually became the backup car. It like wasn't.
They were like,
I guess
you've done
it,
your duty. You've done your service. Thank
it
you.
It was like it became the backup limousine, but it was like in the official fleet until through the Carter administration.
Yeah.
Wow.
That means like LBJ rode in that motherfucker.
Well, yeah,
like,
he did. Crazy. I bet he fucked in that thing.
Nixon. Oh, yeah. Nixon laid his big fat head against the place where JFK's got blown up.
Mm-hmm. That's probably licked it a little bit.
Crazy.
Smelled it.
Mm. Isn't that crazy? I can't
that
stop talking. Like,
I can't believe that.
After
that
Johnson,
so
Richard
crazy.
Nixon used the car and requested additional modifications, creating a hatch in the roof where he could stand and wave to the crowd as he traveled. The final president to use a vehicle was Jimmy Carter, officially retired in 1977.
Okay, but also, that's so funny that he was like, oh, yeah, this car that wasn't secure enough that you could, like, snipe a president through the window. I want a sunroof so I can stand up.
Well, it was a convertible, right? So you want a sunroof in the convertible?
But I think there were modifications.
Oh, they put a roof on it? They were like, well, that didn't work out. that went badly.
Oh, so they, there's, like, it looks like they had, like, it's sort of in pieces. And you add and subtract little roofs.
A really
or
like shitty looking convertible.
Isn't that insane though? That after that happened, that they weren't like this
Kennedy car.
It's called Kennedy car.
It was all they could do to keep from selling it as the Kennedy edition.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
That is fucking wild.
Okay, I felt like that's sort of related to the government wanting their jet back. Where I'm just like, they're cheap. If they paid for something, they fucking are going to use it.
Right.
I mean, they did not want, I mean, his brain went missing. They didn't want that car to be looked at or put in a museum where it could be observed.
So you're saying that's
right?
That's not the real thing, huh?
Well, they don't want people to figure out, you know, all the stuff.
That JFK Jr. is alive. And it's actually Joe Biden. Thank you.
Yeah,
they don't want people to know that what happened to Kennedy was that he got the vaccine.
Yeah.
That's what happens to your brain if you get the vaccine.
One thing I'll say about RFK Jr., though, is like, of course he's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
The government killed his dad and his uncle.
And then
he might have some opinions on that government. Yeah.
Made it look like a random person did it. Yeah, there was also a new break in the JFK thing where somebody who was like in the car said there was a second bullet, which is new.
Yeah.
And the government was like,
a second bullet.
Nah, nah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's already two bullets that we know of.
There was like a second bullet in the car.
Oh,
like,
in the car that they just like kind of kicked to the side.
Yeah.
Like LBJ found it. Like,
hey, I'm like
the next time you wrote that shit.
Yeah. That's neat.
LBJ found it.
Yeah.
And then he passed a bunch of civil rights laws and then started the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
I believe a Secret Service agent accidentally blew Kennedy's head off. Accidentally or not, but...
That's you believe in that one?
I believe that one, yeah. And that's why they were like... First of all, when they called RFK Jr., they were like, sir, there's been a terrible accident. And that was like the Secret Service calling. And yeah, that's the theory that makes the most sense to me.
I believe that
happened and why there was a
JFK's cum melt steel beams.
His cum does melt steel beams, and a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needed to be stopped.
People don't know that about Irish Catholics.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, you got to watch out for us, folks.
Yeah.
Gotta watch out.
Dangerous.
Don't underestimate the Irish. Fighting Irish.
It'll be fine either way.
Yeah, either way.
You'll be fine either way. That is something, like, I remember an old Irish man was like, you know what they said about Kennedy, like, to me, like, trying to give me Irish pride? He's like, Kennedy always said, let them underestimate us. They always underestimate the Irish Catholics.
Oh, my God. Like,
okay, man.
All right.
Thanks. I don't know.
People I was kidding, yeah. But also, he did look, one thing I'll say about Kennedy, he did leave his fluids all over that car, and then Nixon had to, like, sit in them.
Yeah.
But well, it depends on how well it was wiped down, though. We don't know yet.
That's power.
Yeah. That might,
there's no wiping that down.
No.
You can't wipe down the president's brain. You can't put a towel down.
Like a fucking murder car. To like it's ride around
car.
In the murder car of the person who had your job is so wild, but also like suggests a level of complicity by LBJ and Nixon. Which I'm not totally. It's not totally outside of the realm of possibility.
They should have called fucking Harvey Keitel from Pulp Fiction to come. Yeah,
exactly.
The car.
That's where they drove. Like, they drove to find the wolf.
Yeah.
That's where the
now
car
I'm like
sped
every
off
president.
To.
Every president should have to like sit in a car filled with like the skeletons of other presidents.
Yeah, that's
also,
like your initiation.
Like, the bodies of everyone murdered by the American Empire.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's like a really big car.
It would be another planet, I think, yeah. They would have to go to. But yeah, no. Sit with the ghosts.
There you go.
I do like in like England when they have all the scary like skeletons of famous dead people everywhere.
Yeah. Where,
in, like
what
that
do you
church.
Mean?
You know, there's that scary church.
Like crypts. Where they...
Yeah. There's like the scary church where like royals get married and it's full of like the skeleton
the bones
of like
of previous royal.
King, yeah. Whatever, bishop, yeah. Whomever. And like literally they're skeletons with like a crown on it.
Yeah.
It's so scary, but it feels we should do more of that.
America in general is like more all about that denial of death than
dude,
is
America,
probably healthy.
There's not a better explanation of America than just like wiping down the vinyl in the fucking
JFK car and moving
presidential limo. This never happened.
Getting the wheels rotated and
literally
it back
this
out
never
there
happened.
The
this limousine's fine.
What car is this?
And
huh?
Like literally, like
brand
to
new.
America, to yeah. America.
Jackie
like
was
this.
Being a drama queen the way she was crawling all over the back of
that's
the car.
Right.
She could have dented. She could have dented the. She could have dented the trunk, and that would have come out of her end.
Yeah.
But she was in the car. All that stuff happened in this car that you then ride in. And that's so, yeah, we're just like, nope, we wiped it down.
Yeah.
This didn't happen. America,
no. Wait, are you
none of this ever happened.
Didn't wipe it down? Because we did. We wiped
hold
it
on.
Down.
Yeah.
We wiped
hey,
it down
Phil,
and now
the,
it's
bring,
here.
Bring the black light in here. They don't believe we didn't wipe it down.
We took it to my friend Jimmy's house and had the wolf come by.
Exactly. That's why I'm wearing this banana slug shirt.
That is what they did also, for sure. Yeah. They had Jimmy the Wolf come by.
Just a quick once over,
yeah.
And then But in, it would be like if they did the Jimmy the Wolf thing, and then instead of like having the car smashed at a, you know, car smashing place at a auto yard, they were like, all right, and then like
putting this on Turo, so
we're just gonna put it right back out. All right, we do have to talk about the F-35 because So one of its key advantages is its near impossibility of being tracked by radar. So that makes it bad when it malfunctions and like ejects the pilot without warning. This is the third military Class A mishap in the past 6 weeks. That Class A mishaps are incidents in which the damage involved racks up over $2.5 million. But yeah, this is just the latest embarrassment involving the F-35 jet. The story of this particular jet like really crystallizes the abject absurdity, grotesquery of our military spending. So the F-35 initiative is the most expensive weapons program ever, estimated to cost taxpayers more than $1 trillion over its 60-year lifespan. So like, you know, a free healthcare for everyone is what this plane, the existence of this plane makes impossible. Estimates for 20 years were initially pegged at $233 billion, and the actual cost was nearly double that. So it's the $1 trillion estimate over the lifespan is probably low. And the Pentagon, like one of the problems is the Pentagon has always gone with a process of what's called concurrency with this, which is where you start production while the aircraft is still being developed. Concurrency.
Hey, build as you go, man. Build as you go. We know the tires are going to look like that. So put those on.
So you build the aircraft and then take off and then fix the problems while it's flying is the idea.
Sounds foolproof.
But this leads to unresolved technical problems that have plagued it, such as the fact that it doesn't operate well in rain. Can't really work in rain in some cases. And so the Congress like instituted this law that was like, okay, can we take a look at these projects? Because like some of them don't make sense and you're spending like an entire European nation's gross domestic product just to like build these fucking planes that don't work.
Right.
And
sounds right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the spending has nothing to do with keeping America safe. It's just more evidence that military spending is a mutually beneficial financial shell game between governments and corporations.
Yeah, that and like Lockheed has a stranglehold on like everything too. Like
the whole thing is Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, but
it's like a fucking McFlurry machine. It's like you can't send somebody else to do that. You got to have our people come by to do that. Yeah. So they like a lot of people say that like. Who was it? One of these people who was analyzing the program, quote, I had a sense after my first 90 days that the government was not in charge of the program.
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
And none of they don't get used. They keep making them and they're not being used because of a lack of spare parts and maintenance
developing
equipment.
It, dude, we're still developing. No, just give me a break.
They're building it. They're building. They're just like crapping these things out that can't work in the fucking rain and don't have any spare parts or maintenance equipment because they have. There's only one place to get it, which is a corporation that has no competitive reason to do anything you need it to because they're the only ones who fucking make it. It's like
okay, but go with me here, guys. What if we all get a stake in the jet?
Yeah.
There we go.
I just worked on it a bit. If they said it was $435 billion in the first 20 years, we've all been paying $7 a year.
Yeah.
Over the last 20
years. Okay, so we all get like we all get to own like a little percentage of the jet that they fly into nowhere.
How the fuck is that not the case though? Like that we don't aren't part owners of Lockheed Martin at this point. Like we're paying for it with our fucking tax dollars.
Well, yeah, Jack, Lockheed Martin is a family. We're more like a family here.
Can't
at Lockheed
buy your
Martin.
Way into this family. Yeah,
yeah. Jesus Christ. The other really fucked up part is that, like, first of all, they're the largest institutional consumer of fossil fuels.
Yes.
And they recently told shareholders at a meeting to vote fucking no on a resolution that would have created a report on how the company is going to reduce fossil fuel use, like in line with the Paris Agreement. They said, quote, in the board's reasoning, shareholders should vote no on the resolution because it is premature and not in the best interest of our company or premature. Our shareholders.
Fuck
that off. Earth death is not in our interest. And then also, like, when you look at it, like, there was a study about, like, just greenhouse emissions from the beginning of the invasion of Afghanistan. And, you know, the largest portion of this is from military jets.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
They use...
No, but we need to, like, start fucking recycling more. Like, if you... It's your fault. If you left a aluminum can in a trash can, like, that's what's causing climate change.
Wait, what kind of straw are you using? It's not that this jet uses 1,000... This jet uses 1,000...
Is that a 1,000 plastic straw, you motherfucker?
1,340 gallons of jet fuel per hour is what this thing uses. What's that MPG on there?
Man was not meant to fly.
Man was meant to fly in blimps.
Yeah, that's yes, original.
Only blimps.
Baby.
If only we blimps, lived in baby. The steam age.
Thank you.
We it's coming back. When we're old, by the time we're elderly, we're all going to be living through another age of giant
that's
dirigibles.
Right. Jack confirmed steampunk.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Or is that the new way the fucking wealthy escape the hordes of the poor people? They go, we got to take to the skies, actually.
I bet they're easy to shoot down, though, right?
That's what they're going to do with the spaceships.
Well, I feel like they got to go. You can't just go. You can't go from Earth to spaceship right away. I feel like the middle ground.
Yeah, but you don't think Bezos and Elon Musk and those guys don't have a spaceport lined up?
They have, like, I'm sure they do, but I'm saying, like, I think for most people, like, not everyone is going to get there. I feel like there's going to be, like, the 500 feet in the sky version of a rich people city that only
Elysium.
Has to come down for,
yeah,
something like that. But yeah, eventually it will be spaceships. But
it'll be a city made of jets, city made of fighter jets. And everybody flies their little fighter jets around. It's like a little Top Gun world.
Oh, perfect.
Personally, I can't wait because I'll definitely be one of the chosen ones and not one of the people left to die on Earth as it burns.
Whose bloodstream is just 40% jet fuel.
Like, right.
You know what?
Yeah.
I can't wait. Maybe I'll get to live in a house here when all the rich people leave.
Yeah, we'll run them all out of town.
Yeah,
we'll all run them into the sky.
That's right.
Guys, you know what else they have at the Henry Ford Museum?
What?
I want to go there so bad now. They have the fucking chair Abraham Lincoln got his brains blown out in too.
Really?
Yes.
The place, it's all seating where people have had their fucking dome piece blown off?
It's only progressives who got murdered in
the 90s. Yeah, it's a warning.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, bitch. That's right. Keep
don't
telling
sit
people
down.
About Henry Ford.
Don't fucking sit down.
Watch your back. Watch your back. That's all we got to say over here. Wow. Yeah. Can you sit in it? No, probably
They also
not.
Got the shoes. They also have the sandals Gandhi was wearing when he got...
Henry Ford was for sure like, I'll see you at the crossroads.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Henry Ford said to the Jews.
Oh,
that's
right. Wow.
Yeah, in my Model T.
When he was reprinting the protocols of the Elders of Zion and trying to get it distributed
in schools.
Putting
it in everybody's glove compartment.
Yeah, like the Gideons, except with anti-Semitism here.
Well, Molly Lambert, as always, what a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me. I'm on Instagram at Molly_Lambert. I am on TikTok now, just lurking so far, at Molly Lambert World. And yeah, hopefully have a new podcast coming out sometime.
Yeah.
To listen to. But also check out Heidi World if you haven't yet.
Yeah, go listen to that right now. Right now.
I put my bones in it.
Ooh. Hey, man, you put your bones in this one.
I put my whole bones into it.
And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying? Like an interview that you were about to tell us about recently or something?
Oh, the Jan Wenner interview with David Marchese.
Oh, I haven't read it. All right, I need to read that.
It is
fucking
bananas.
Crazy. Yeah.
I mean, he's just like, yeah, there were no women who I thought were like no women or people of color that I thought were like worth including in my conversations with great musicians.
Yeah.
And they're like, not Joni Mitchell? And he's like, No, I don't think she's like very good.
Who?
It's just crazy. I mean, Jan Wenner is, you know, we've been known.
We've been known. Yeah.
A racist misogynist, but it's crazy to see someone just be like, yup. Doubling down.
Somebody getting
down.
That much cultural influence from a magazine. They're gonna be a problem, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Sorry, I forced that one on you. Is there anything else you
Oh, yeah. What's up? What else? Let's do a lighter one. I'm going to say that Tate McRae video. Just a little nice little autumn bop for the girlies about, you know, getting your mojo back after your hockey player boyfriend cheats on you by going to an ice rink and dancing.
Dancing with that old glove on.
Dancing with a weird glove on. I'm shocked she doesn't use like a hockey stick, really.
Yeah, I guess it felt, I think it was one of those things where the stylist was like, I don't know, like this? Maybe like you could dance with this on. Like, because you're not going to do it with shoulder pads, or like a shin guard or some other
shit. No, you could though. It really opens up possibilities for hockey slut wear.
But is like our shoulder pads.
I guess you
pads,
gotta be, yeah, I guess so there's a lot of gear and like blades.
Yeah, a lot of blades.
Always found the Jason Voorhees hockey mask deeply erotic.
Wow, we've brought it back to Jason Voorhees. Yeah. Oh, I guess that would be good Halloween costume.
I think that was
Jason
before
Voorhees.
We started recording.
It was before we started, but people love to be included in our extended universe that includes the things we were talking about before the show starts recording. Yeah.
We were talking about Jason Voorhees and whether he should be a anti-gun advocate because he clearly
could use a gun.
He knows about guns. He gets shot all the time, but he's a blade king.
People love sexy Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, that's what happens when you search sexy Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, he's the originator of hockey chic.
Look at this one. Where he's ripping open that work suit. Okay, mm-hmm. Jason.
Yeah, Jason Shredsville. Voorhees. Body,
wow.
Got that Jason body, Miles, where can people find you as their work of media you've been enjoying,
You can
friend?
Find me trying to use generative AI to make an even sexier Jason Voorhees. But also at Miles of Gray, wherever they got names like that for you to enter and find me. I'm there. Instagram, Twitter. Not even saying formerly X, actually. Twitter, formerly X. I'm there as well. And also find us on Miles and Jack at Mad Boosties. Find me on The Good Thief, which is the true crime show, and 420 Day Fiance, where we talk 90 Day. Tweet I like is from at Internet Hippo. And it says, in blue check voice, let me get this straight. Every day it gets a little dark. Every day it gets dark a little earlier. And we're supposed to believe this is normal? It's like peak blue check fucking viral tweet. And I love that they captured the voice of that thing.
Yeah. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Molly Goodfellow at Hans Smolman. Whoops. Hans Smolman.
I think you're Hans Smolman in this situation.
I think I am. Tweeted. Block me if you want, but I'm excited for it to get colder at night so I can truly be on my snug as a bug in a rug game. Mm. I just love a controversial take like that. Yeah. And at Uncool Boyfriend tweeted, Your Honor, who gives a fuck, low-key? And I just like that energy. Bring it into the courtroom, baby. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we got our Facebook page and our website. What? Mm-hmm. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a footnotes. And we also link off to a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
I think this is going to be a track called Endless by AKN. And it's
is that
like
what we're listening to?
Yeah. It's like a drill, like hard house mashup. It's just...
Body, yada, yada.
Also, you know what? Actually, truth be told, a song I first heard on TikTok. Ha, ha, ha. But ends up being one of those things, one of those joints them that you can only get on SoundCloud. So check this out. It's only on SoundCloud, and it's the artist is AKN, and the track is called Endless.
Is it the one where the person is rapping about getting out of the car?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is what put us on the Jason Voorhees conversation in the first place. This is truly, this episode is like folding in on itself.
Yeah,
because, yeah, we're doing the Mr. Show where you bring it all around at the end.
Yeah,
we were talking about British rappers who like rap about blades. And he's like, I wish I had a Glock, but I have a big,
got a 15-inch blade instead.
I'll stab you with it. But, you know, I wish I could rap about gunplay.
Right, right.
I will collapse your lungs. Anyways.
We'll collapse your lungs.
Isn't that what he kind of says?
Yeah.
The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us today. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.